That's why your mama left you, because you talk too much.
See that again. Laughing.
Well, welcome back, everybody, and happy Dead Day. Is it Dead Day? Whatever it is. Happy
Your favorite day welcome. Of the week.
It's not my favorite day of the week.
Well, I'm not you know talking what? About you.
Oh, about you. Yes.
Where we drop podcasts to make your Mondays a little easier. Congratulations.
It's Motivating Monday. And today we're going to motivate you with some Walking Dead.
You know what this also could have been called? Monster Mondays.
Ooh.
So that when The Walking Dead isn't on, we can do other stuff.
Ooh. Look at that. It may go for a different day. But we're still doing, you know what? We'll just say, instead of Happy Dead Day, now we'll start writing, it's Monster Mondays.
Okay.
Welcome to a new segment called Monster Mondays. Where we will be doing all kinds of creature and stuff. Anyway, welcome back to the podcast, everybody. To the
Whitebeard and TK podcast.
The Whitebeard TK podcast. I am one of your hosts. I am the other guy, because there's only one of us that can have a beard. You know what? Wait a second. Ladies do have beards, but you don't have one. So yes, I am the only one with a beard. I am Whitebeard, and standing right next to me is the Queen of the Nile. What is your name today?
Oh my goodness. Wait.
What?
So there's a show called Monster High, and the... Oh, no. But her name was Cleo. Anyway. Yeah, there was, like, a character named, like, Denial or something like that. Like the river.
Yes.
And that just reminded me of that. Anyway. Hey.
Yeah.
I'm back. Did you miss me?
Your name is...
TK.
Thank you. Welcome back. Listen, we missed you guys last week because a lot of stuff was happening. Not really a lot of stuff was happening. I remember, as you hear me tell you this every single week, people, you hear me telling you this. I tell her, let's record right away so that we're already ready to go. It used to be that we waited until Monday because we had to wait to Monday to see it. And so we would get up early in the morning, watch The Walking Dead, then we would record, and then we try to get everything posted by 12:30. And it was a lot, as well as trying to do our Tuesday episodes, which is really basically about our lives, and but mostly focuses on our adventures. Because that was the day that we started on Tuesday, and we started out as an adventure podcast and then branched out into all the stuff that we just love to do. So it's a variety show. So, what happened last week, because now AMC is confusing me. We're getting the episodes, which would have been better if it happened like, you know, the Thursday before, like they did last year with, which was it? The World Beyond. Mm-hmm. When it came out and you got it early on a Thursday, but they're doing it.
We're getting it a week and like 12 hours early.
Right. So instead of getting it like with the World Beyond, which was on Thursday, you'd be like, okay, so you watch it on Thursday, we can get the podcast ready, and then everybody else is seeing it on Sunday, and then we can go ahead and drop our show either that Sunday night, which we never do. We do it on Monday. Now we're getting it a whole week before, so I am totally confused at what it is we're supposed to be doing. So now it kind of got in my head, and now today, Sunday, The World Beyond is going to return, and so, you know, have to try not to say anything, but we're not. We'll probably take care of those two shows for the next week, probably today on Monday. So, today is Monday to you. So, that's how we messed up last week, and you did not get Out of the Ashes from us, so we're going to give you today Out of the Ashes and...
On the Inside?
On the Inside. Yes. Can't really say I remember much of them, except for two things that I really, really love. The opening of...
Which one?
Whichever one was the first one.
Out of the Ashes.
Out of the Ashes. Which was... The Zombies at the Gate.
What?
The Zombies at the Gate.
I don't know if that was an... I don't know if that was the opening.
Okay, I don't know if that was the opening.
It was in there.
But it was in there, and that was my favorite part. That made my week. Now, everybody's been going on talking about this, so you probably already know this, that the young zombie at the gate that was being teased and mocked by the teenagers. You know how I love the description was? Judith and the kids are, what was it? Something about teenagers. They have a run-in with the teenagers. We haven't had teenagers for a while because all the teenagers grew up and then they all got killed by the walkers. So now we have some teenagers, which I don't think were part of their group. I think that they probably came from somewhere else because I don't know who those kids are. I know who all the young kids are because they were all babies growing up through all this other stuff. So, but anyway, so they had a run-in with some teenagers. So there's a zombie at the gate who they're mocking, and it just happens to be Negan's son in real life. His real name is not Negan. It is Jeffrey Dean Morgan. So his son was the one that was being made fun of. Huh. So that was my favorite part. And he was picking on him. She's like, no, leave him alone. And she was correct. What was this? This was during the training point, right? Was it Judith or the... Blah, 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 blah. She was already teaching the kids, right?
I guess.
Yeah, stick, turn, block, roll. And then she overheard them talking, and then she goes over and talks to the kid, and he started mouthing off, saying all kinds of wickedness.
And then she put a blade to his throat.
That is my girl. I was like, what? You shut up. You talk too much. That's why your mom left you. And then he shoved her down the floor. No, he shoved her afterwards.
No.
I thought she got pushed.
I don't think so.
I don't think so. I have to go back and see. But see, it was so long ago. But anyway, that's why your mother, she pulled that knife out real quick, put the sword to his throat. Was like, say it again. Go ahead. I was like, yes. Yes. He ain't say another word, did he?
No.
You know, but then. What did he do later?
Well, we don't know if he did it, but somebody did it.
Well, he was in the house mocking.
The handprints that Judith and Carl made when she was younger, they were on the floor and they were like broken.
Because all of them little lousy children were up inside her house breaking stuff up. But the thing that I was thinking, you know, when it all happened and she did do that, I was so proud of her. I was like, don't even cry. Don't even cry. Stick him. Don't cry. Don't even give it to him. Just walk away. Just walk. She held it all the way till she got in. And then her and what's her name had a really, really nice moment a little bit later on. Her and Rosita had a chat.
A pep talk.
A tender moment.
She was like, you know, I'm really good at fixing things. And I'm just like, ah.
Yes.
That was so nice.
It was. But that was my favorite.
Like, both of her parents are gone. Who is she supposed to talk to?
I don't know. And they need to figure that out.
And Daryl got snatched up, so.
Yeah. Daryl got snatched. It's nobody but her. And
Negan is gone too.
Yeah, her old running buddy. So it's just her, the leader of the small kids, going up against the big kids.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know why he opened up his mouth to her, because, dude, you don't know who Judith Grimes is? Do you not know who this girl is? The kid walks around with a... with a samurai sword strapped to her back and a Colt 45 hanging off her hips that belonged to her daddy. And we've seen her pull that trigger, so she was able to handle it. It almost knocked her out when she shot at that walker that day. Wait, it was Bader. Didn't she shoot at Bader?
No.
Who did she shoot? This is way back. About a season or so ago.
When she rescued those people?
Which people? No, no, no. When somebody came into the house, I think it was a time that Beta came to the house to attack them. Someone else was inside the house, and she pulled it out. But anyway, how you messing with this girl? Clearly, he wasn't too bright.
No.
That's all I got to say about that episode until you say something that reminds me of something. Go ahead. What you got?
Okay. So now is the Commonwealth. Our group went through orientation and they got their work orders, except for Yumiko, who had to be special.
Because she is special. Did I just yawn on the mic?
Yes.
Sorry.
She got a letter and she was talking to like the clerk guy and she said, I need to talk to you about my brother. And he goes, excuse me, you need to go speak to that person if you have any questions, because I'm not taking questions right now. And she was like, well, I have this letter. And he goes, oh, I'm sorry. Whatever you need.
Yeah.
And she sees her brother and she's like, oh my goodness. And he drops a cake, which apparently they had 3 decorated cakes and they were all real, just for that scene. And people took turns eating the pieces of cake that were not touching the floor.
Of course they did.
I mean, as long as it's free, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Hand me a plate and a fork. Anyway. So she sees him and she's like, you're a surgeon. Why are you baking? You could be saving people. And he's like, well.
Shut your mouth.
Exactly.
Mind
your business. Like, I don't want that. I don't want that life anymore. Baking makes me happy. Leave me alone. Let me be.
I'm sorry. Can you tell if we don't like Yumiko? We just don't like her character. I mean, the actress is okay, but she's so annoying that I've seen her in an interview, and I can't even separate the two of them. I don't.
Yeah, like sometimes the hatred for the character bleeds over into actual, like, reality.
Yeah, that doesn't happen for too many characters for me, but she's one of those people.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, yeah, we don't like Yumiko, and I think we've said that a number of reasons why we don't like Yumiko, and I don't know why everybody likes Yumiko. There are a lot of people.
Part of it is that we suspect that she was dating Magna when she was a minor, and Yumiko was a grown adult lawyer lady, but, you know, we'll leave that alone.
Yes, and all the comments that we've always said about how she was always very controlling in that relationship,
right,
with Magna. And so, thankfully, Magna's like, nah, no, I'm, and they just split. But yeah, there's a lot of things. And you know what? When we hear a lot of people doing interviews, or we'll watch The Talking Dead,
mm-hmm,
and you'll hear the comments and everything. Everyone seems to be so positive and wonderful. Isn't she so great? I love Yumiko, and I love so-and-so. I love the actress. Are you really paying attention to the show, though? Everything can't be peaches and cream.
Right.
Because, like we just said, Yumiko's character, look what she's been doing. And now she's some sort of leader while they're over there. And
as much as it might be, like, slipped into there, like, she was doing it with Magna, you know, the whole making decisions without asking, blah, blah, blah. But she gets to this place, she's talking to her brother. Well, you should be doing this. And he's like, chill.
Oh, I see where you're going with that. Yeah.
So obviously,
yeah, she's going to be doing the same thing.
Uh-huh. This is her personality. This is who she is. Yeah. And I think that needs to stop.
Yeah.
So. I mean, they could be going somewhere with it. And then I guess it's like, okay, I have to just watch this play out. But if they're not, and it's just really lazy writing, why? Why?
I don't know. But go on. Were you done with her? You was going to say something else? Because you started with her and her brother.
That's it.
But yeah, so I'm a bit concerned and a little annoyed Because you should be doing, mind your business, Yumiko. I've been here all this time surviving before you showed up. Leave me be. I could see the whole Magna thing showing up all over again. And then there was poor Eugene.
Who's getting played?
Oh yeah, we know he getting played. For so, whatever reason, we know he getting played because the lady who he spoke to, and we were sitting there going, hold on a second.
That's not Stephanie. Stephanie is black.
Right. We know Stephanie was black because we know that AMC probably shouldn't have done this last year, told who the actress is going to be and who was the voice that was on the radio with him. And it is not the one who's with him right now. They have glasses, but that's not the one.
Apparently they did it on purpose.
Yeah. They did it on purpose. And so I was sitting there going, why you did the bait and switch? But then we saw him when he went to the ice cream truck because this place is a fantasy land. No way to go to the ice cream truck. What?
50,000 people strong. Cakes, cupcakes.
Ice cream. Roll around the street in a bike. This is the place. I don't know. I just hope that the king gets his cancer taken care of. That's one thing that I hope will happen with him. But we'll see. Was this the week or no? We talked about the week before when he was making a shink. He was making a little wooden shink.
Yeah, that was before.
Yeah, that was before. But then when the real, what is her name? Stephanie came by and she was getting the ice cream order for,
Pamela.
Pamela Milton, who we yet to see, people talk about in the comic book. She was the one who ran the Commonwealth or something else like that. In general, whatever his name is, I think is her number two. And so she mentioned the ice cream, which I didn't catch. Got to tell you, I didn't catch. I heard this from another show that was reviewing it. She mentioned the ice cream that the two of them were talking about over the radio, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was like a, hey guys, look what we got for you. Sprinkle, sprinkle, sprinkle. And he turned around, hey. And she never said a word. She just looked at him, put her head down real quick and walked. I was like, oh, that's her. That's the Stephanie. So we have no clue what's happening and what's going to be happening here. But it's starting to get a little.
Yeah, but Eugene's like, you guys have a radio or something. Can I like fast track getting my friends here, you know, any way to do that? And fake Stephanie was like,
I got your back.
Yeah, you see those power lines that, or was it like an antenna? Anyway, she was like, yeah, it's in there. Yeah, we can like sneak in there and go. I was like, okay, so they did like their James Bond thing or whatever and snuck up into the radio room. And he did some communicating with Alexandria. And then they got caught and arrested.
And going to the Hooskow. They going to the clink. They about to be jammed up. Locked in the box.
Anyway.
Sent to the cooler.
Anyway.
Into the patty. What? I wasn't done. I had a lot more.
Homie in the orientation video shows up and he's like, yeah, okay. So it looks like you guys are actually better off than we thought you were going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Because somebody must have said something.
Yeah. And so they were let loose. So we're going to see what happens next week.
Instead of being banished.
All right. Instead of being banished. Well, banished would have been good. But what we have picked up on was that, yeah, whoever this lady is, she set that up because they continue to try to know more and ask questions about their group of people and where they come from. They want to know how many people are there. So, you know, we were thinking, along with other people, that they were just fielding, you know, showing out there, trying to see, fielding questions, trying to figure out what's going on. So, yeah, go ahead and contact your people. But I think he slipped out the name.
Yeah.
He slipped out the name of Alexandria, so we're gonna see how that plays out.
Which
later
means
on
absolutely nothing because Alexandria is in shambles right now.
Yeah, poor Alexandria. We were watching The Talking Dead the other day and they were talking about this episode or the next episode that's coming up. It's probably the next episode that's coming up, but had a realization that actually going to be talking about that episode. That is the next episode coming up. Who is the last person who was an original from Alexandria? I give you a hint. He has a beard. He has a claw for a hand.
I know.
The name escapes you.
Yeah, I'm thinking of his real name, and so I can't.
Yeah, so they were discussing that. I was like,
it's like three people anyway, was the point.
Yeah, they're talking about him being angry and why, and then he mentioned the thing. I was like, oh, snap. He really is the only one from Alexandria that is really from Alexandria. But let's finish this, and then we'll get into that episode after we take a little break, a little information break. But yeah, so there was that. What else did they happen to reveal, or what else happened in that episode?
Hilltop Squatters.
That was in that episode?
Yes.
It really was?
Yes.
You sure?
Yes.
Who were the Hilltop Squatters?
The Remnants of the Whisperers.
The Remnants of the Whisperers.
There were like five of them.
Five. Five Whispers. But I don't trust their numbers. Because we never knew how many Whispers are there.
Yeah, well, one of them got his hand cut off.
Which brings us right into what I just said. So we might as well just segue right into it.
Okay.
After this commercial break. Now that we have your attention for the next few seconds, we would love to hear from you. Your questions, your comments, whatever it is you want to say, your dislikes, we love to hear from you. And you can reach us at
whitebeardandtk@gmail.com.
That's
whitebeardandtk@gmail.com.
And while you're also there, you might as well check us out on YouTube, and you can find us at
The Whitebeardandtk Experience.
And on Instagram at the same name of
whitebeardandtk Experience.
Where you can continue to follow along with our adventures on our Friday night adventure show, where we'll be showing you some of the places that we've been going on our hikes and the recent road trip that we have been on. So go check that out on YouTube, the
whitebeardandtk Experience.
And you can reach us at
whitebeardandtk@gmail.com.
Thank you. Okay, you were talking about the squatters.
So, Aaron, that's his name.
His name, Aaron. So okay. Aaron, they go to Hilltop for what reason? Oh, now you want to say something? Go ahead.
My hands are on my hips right now.
Yeah, blowing your hot breath in my face.
Anyway, they were like, well, we should go scour Hilltop. They probably have some stuff that we can use.
The tools. That's what they were looking for, tools.
Because, you know, there's nothing. There's nothing here. We are the equivalent of broke. So they go, they travel. They travel to Hilltop on the train. There's no train. I'm just kidding. So they get there.
There could be a train.
No, they were using a wagon.
Fine.
So they get there.
Could have been a train being pulled by a wagon. Okay, go ahead.
They get there, and they're like, wow, our walker people, our people who got left here and died and turned into walkers, were like walking around. So like, okay, well now we have to kill them. And so they went through this entire emotional thing of stabbing people in the head that they knew. And they're like, wow, it's Troy. Don't know who Troy is.
I don't remember who Troy is
either.
But
he's dead.
Every time they say someone's name, I'm like, who was that person? Okay.
Troy is dead again. And so they're like, whoa, that one isn't a walker. And they're like, okay, well, now we got Whispers on our hands. And then...
Right, because they noticed that the walkers... We're walking in a circle like the Whisperers did.
Mm-hmm. And so I got one of them and strung him up and interrogated him with a walker. And was like, well, we'll let him bite you if you don't tell us where the rest of you are. And he's like, I don't know anything. And then Carol was like, okay, okay, it's time to stop. This is enough. And they're like, okay.
And Aaron said no.
And
that's the part you missed. Now, that was Aaron saying, we gonna let the walker chew on you. Nibble, nibble, nibble.
And then
nom, nom.
Aaron let the walker bite him. And he was like, well, I got two options. I can cut off your hand or you can do it. And that's it. And then he was like, well, obviously, Aaron didn't cut off his hand. He did it on his own. And the episode proceeds. They gather up his stuff. Lydia's like, don't come back. Don't turn back. And before they like go off to leave, the dude's like, whoa, I saw your girl come out the cave around here. And so they're like, wow, we gotta go save her. We gotta go now. Carol's like, we gotta go now. And Aaron's like, it's gonna be dark soon. Chill. Let's go home first, and then we can leave. Episode ends. Woo! The end.
Yes, we find that Connie is alive. Aaron's lost his mind, and he said, listen, you're gonna do this, or this is going to happen. So he proceeds to do what he's gonna do. Is Daryl with him? No, Daryl's not with him. He goes to do this whole thing, and you can look in Aaron's eyes, because first of all, we open up with Aaron having a nightmare. And in this nightmare, you can't tell if it's real or if it's Memorex. You don't even know the commercial, do you?
No.
It's a commercial called Memorex. It's like, is it live or is it Memorex? You couldn't tell the difference if it was live music or was it recorded on a videotape. Not a videotape, on an audio tape, which was Memorex. So we couldn't tell. And then it was just one point where he's in the woods and we hear, and like, okay, it's a dream. Aaron, wake up. And so he's been having these nightmares, and it's always all, it's all the stuff they have gone through, dealing with the W's. What were the W's? The
wolves.
The wolf pack, the wolves, the whispers, the saviors, and everybody else that he had to deal with all of these years. And it's like, you know, it's now coming down to a time where it's weighing heavy on him that he's even dreaming about this. And so this is how we kind of open up this episode, and it kind of progresses on from there. And then you just start to see Aaron, which makes sense because of all the stuff they have gone through. And as we heard them saying on Talking Dead, was like, you know, why is he doing this to protect us? Well, first of all, he has a daughter, Gracie, that he's raising. You know, he lost his husband. We spoke about that before. So he's raising Gracie and everything else and all the food. And as he was stringing the guy up, it's like, you know, well, no. Carol's like, no. Dude, you are about to go down a dark road. One way you don't want to go to. By the way, we already heard that this season was going to get darker as it progresses anyway. And you're going to go down a dark road. I'm like, nah, Carol, leave him alone. And I think he was saying, do you remember why we're out here? We're out here because of them. We don't have food because of them. We don't have a place to live because of them, because the Whisperers destroyed it all. So I understood what he was saying. I'm like, let that fool swing, actually. Let him get chewed up. And so I understood Aaron's whole thing. And as someone was just saying, discussing, was that Aaron is one of the only people left from Alexandria. Because before Rick showed up and destroyed the place, and then the saviors came and finished it off, and then the Whisperers came and picked its bones, they had a massive community, and that was before it was Bearded Aaron. And he was just there. They had all these people. So out of Alexandria, that's now in shambles, he's one of the three original people that was in that place that was wonderful. It was built up, and they spent the entire time of the entire zombie apocalypse in that place before Rick showed up. So he has a lot invested in that. He's lost a lot. His daughter's in there, and the Whisperers destroyed this. I understand his anger. And as someone said, you know, when Carol tells you you're going too far, you probably have lost it and gone too far. Because we know what Carol did. That's why they're looking for Connie now.
Yeah.
Because Carol done lost her mind. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so now we find that Connie is alive. Alive. Connie's alive. Which brings up the thing I've been saying the entire time. Connie is deaf and dumb, as he used to say back in the day. I don't know if we want to call her differently abled or whatever wonderful labels we have today. But here's the thing. Connie can't speak and Connie can't hear. And I have always said, how in the world are they living in the apocalypse? So the next episode is called...
On the Inside?
The next episode is called Let's Find Connie. And it is a straight up horror film.
There is no safety.
None.
What she was running from and she thought was chasing her was completely wrong. So it starts out Connie and Virgil running through the woods. They're running. And they see a split in the road and they're like, oh, okay, which way do we go? And so they go, oh, there's a mailbox. Let's go. Actually, they had an argument about that.
Yeah, she can't hear a thing. She can't speak. He doesn't know sign language. But as we find out later on when Connie's book is found, they've been together for a while. At least about a month or so, right? 2 months. They've been traveling with each other. And you know, getting out of whatever it was and just trying to stay alive and safe. But right, so he can't sign with her. She can't sign with him. She can't speak. She can't hear. And so he's really got to be her eyes and ears. And so they get to this frustrating moment when they're arguing about which way to go. So, yeah.
And he was like, well, I think we need to go to the house because we need some rest. And she was like, no, we got to keep going. They're chasing us. Blah, blah, blah. So they end up going to the house anyway. She's struggling to get the door open, and he's like fighting the walkers, hand-to-hand combat with these walkers. Okay, I'm talking about like Street Fighter with these walkers. You know what I mean?
Street Fighter?
Yes. And so she finally gets the door open, and they get inside, and they're like, whoo, phew, wipe the forehead. Flick the sweat off, you know, one of those type of moments. Like, we're alive. And so they begin to search the house. And Virgil goes upstairs, searching the house, whatever. That's fine. They're clear. The house is fine. It's empty. There's nobody in there. Comes back downstairs and like, no, we're good. And she's still freaking out.
Having panic attacks, dreaming of her stuck in that cave with all them walkers.
And she was like looking out the window, looking through the boarded up window, looking through the cracks. And then she was like trying to write, and he was just like, no, we're fine. And then she takes a knife and scratches into the wall. We're not alone. I think that might have come later, and I just skipped too far ahead.
Yes, you did.
Oops.
Because he was trying to tell her to relax and get some sleep, and she's like, no, we can't relax. We have to keep moving because of all the stuff that's going on outside. And so she can't relax. She's panicking, you know, closing her eyes, and she's seeing scenes of her inside the cavern, inside the cave with the walkers. So then, you know, instead of sleeping and getting rest like he says, she says, I'm going to go take another look upstairs. And so it's been days since she slept. She goes upstairs and takes a look upstairs. He's downstairs looking at things, contemplating his life at that moment, probably about to rest. And she goes upstairs, and I don't know if this is the part where they just had everything quiet so we couldn't hear, like we're supposed to see the world through her eyes. And she's looking for something. Why does she look in a medicine cabinet?
For medicine? I don't know.
Okay. And then she saw a pair of eyes looking back at her.
First of all.
And they were kind of jaundiced, so I said, that ain't a walker.
First of all, this house is pretty old, if I do say so myself. And a slot in the medicine cabinet for old razor blades. Who has that?
I don't know. Whoever lived there back in the 1940s.
So she's just looking through the slot, and here comes an eye, and she freaks out and runs. I would too. You would not catch. I would just go outside. Let the walkers eat me.
Yeah, so she runs downstairs and say, hey, we ain't alone. Well, what? I don't understand. I don't understand because she's trying to sign, trying to talk to him. He doesn't understand. There's somebody in the house. We're all sitting here now starting to go, okay.
This is starting to get crazy and paranoid.
Yeah, this is getting a little tense and she's seeing something because she hasn't slept. Mm-hmm. To which is what I told you. I wouldn't have believed her either. Because she hadn't slept for days, and I know being up for 48 hours and more than that, you do start to get a little delusional. Your hearing gets off, your smell, your senses, everything is off when you're up too long, and you sleep deprivation. So I wouldn't have believed either. You just need to rest. You just, no. She's flipping out, grabbing a knife.
I mean, even staying up late at night, I see things, not like people and like figures, like, there'll be like a black spot on the ceiling, and I'll look there, and it's not there. What happened to the black spot? Nothing. It's just me tired. I need to go to sleep. Anyway, so he's like, okay, you know what? Let's go check. We'll go together. You know, like one of those times where it's like, the kid is like, oh, I saw a monster in the closet. And the parent goes, okay, we'll go check together. And I'm going to prove to you that there's no monster in the closet. And, you know, they go into the bathroom. He opens the cabinet and he looks through and he's like, no, I don't see anything. You know, parent's like, nope, there's no monster in the closet. Told you, it's safe. So they're like, fine. Walking out the bathroom, down the hallway. And then what happens?
They get split up.
A door slides through the hallway
and splits them up, which remind me of this movie, which name I cannot remember, where I saw this happen. The guy was investigating something, and then he went into, it was a murder house. He went into this place, and the door, it was these trap doors that slopped them in one room, locked them in one room, tried to get out, another door opened, got through that door, and then somewhere else. And this is a place that they were murdering people, and that's how they were disappearing. I can't remember what it was. I don't even know if it was a Sherlock Holmes book that I read. I don't think it was Sherlock Holmes. It was something I was watching. I vividly remember the colors of these people being trapped in there. And it was in the... was it called Pole House or something like that? It was in the early 1800s of the first serial killer. I don't know which show this was, but they were going to this murder house where this guy did all his stuff. So that's what it reminded me of. They got cut off.
Reported serial killer.
Right. So they got immediately cut off with a door. He's screaming, banging on it. She's sitting there, can't hear him. And now we're all sitting here watching a scene with no noise.
She slides to the floor, just like terrified. I mean, what else do you do?
You just crawl into a fetal position, go, mommy. That's about all you can do.
And, you know, before this was happening, as the camera's like panning down the hallway, there's like all these pictures and like the portraits or whatever, and they're kind of old.
With their eyes?
Scratched out.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, okay.
It's not creepy
somebody
at all.
Somebody was here previously, right?
Somebody was angry.
They may still be here, but you know, they may not be, right? Then the door, and I'm just like, okay. Somebody's definitely in there, because that can happen on its own. Are you gonna say anything?
I was just thinking crawlers, but I couldn't remember where we saw crawlers from. Was it from that movie with the vampires? People were crawling on the floor attacking? No, it was the other vampire show when they would crawl and jump on you. Well, they had those hair. I guess you'd call these feral people. As I said, I looked at those eyes and I said, it's not a zombie because the guy's eyes were jaundiced. So clearly... had some kidney issues and some other stuff, but then when you looked at the face of the thing that attacked him, they hadn't been out in the sun either. So he was clearly vitamin D deficient, because they had everything locked up on the door. I say they because we later on find out that it's more than one. But he starts attacking and tries to chew somebody.
Right, so she's getting chased through the house now, and so is he. And she's running and running and running. She gets to a door, opens it, closes it, terrified she's about to die. And the thing is just, well, as far as we know, the thing, you know, when you're watching this, you don't know it's a person, I guess. Like, you could guess that it was a person and not a zombie, but, like, anyway. So he's, like, banging on the door, trying to get to her, trying to kill her, or eat her, or whatever. She goes down the stairs, and there's a bunch of bones, picked clean.
Terminus, anyone?
Humans and animals. Just bones. And so she's like, oh, man, there's, like, no way out. I'm in the basement. There's nowhere to go. And there's this convenient, giant open vent. And she's like, okay, go in the vent. The vent was not a good place.
Continue. No. The vent was not a good place. I think she ends up in between the walls and what's his name was in a room by himself. And he was trapped in a room having this fight with the guy that was inside the room. Whoa. And she's inside the walls.
Right. Before that, he runs into the room and barricades the door. So now he's trapped in the room.
Right, and so she's on the other side of the wall where she was in between the rooms, and so her eyes are now seeing through this thing. Now, what they did was... having flashbacks. So now, what they're doing with her, with Connie, is every time we see Connie's perception, it's no noise. So you're seeing it as she would see it, where she can't hear anything. So anything creeping up behind her, which at one point did, she can't hear this. And this is why I've been saying, how in the world are they surviving? I mean, it was her and her sister at one point who could hear. Mm-hmm. So that way that one could be the ears and the eyes. And then, of course, they can sign and communicate. But this is not happening with these two. They have to find this way to communicate in this horrific issue, in this horrific situation. So she's looking through and she's banging on the wall, screaming, which we can't hear anything, trying to get his attention that, look, there's someone in the room with you. And Mr. Creepy is crawling around.
Crawling through the hole. In the wall behind Virgil about to, like, kill him. And he didn't see it because she's banging on the wall, right? So she's banging on the wall, trying to get his attention.
And Virgil's paying attention to the wall.
What else is he supposed to think is in the wall, right? Just another one of the people trying to kill him.
Yeah.
So, of course, he's not going to go and tear down the wall. And so she's like, you know, there's a tiny hole. You can't really motion to somebody that, oh, there's somebody behind you. So they get into a fight.
And she's sticking her fingers through. It was just funny. So they get into a fight. Virgil stabbed him, right?
Yeah.
He stabbed them in like a little... He just crawled back out. And he crawled up out of there. And now we got to deal with what's in the wall. Now, this is where I go, Virgil must be out of his mind. Someone's banging on the wall. I see some fingers there. Well, I'm going to walk closely and look at it and contemplate, do I want to dig through this thing and let it in?
Well, he did stab the wall.
Yeah, he did stab the wall.
Before trying to get her out because he knew it was her, he stabbed the wall, assuming that it was an enemy.
No, I think maybe he was stabbing the wall to open it up. But he stabbed the wall, and then the other side, we see her eyes open up really, really wide, like every horror movie ever.
Yeah.
And then he starts digging, her hand comes through, and then she comes through. They can't communicate one word, and finally break through the wall, and she grabs him. This is a giant hug, like, ah! It was an emotional, but
yeah.
It was awesome scene.
She would do very well in the horror genre.
Yes, which I wanted to bring up outside of retelling this whole episode was that this was a perfect episode for whatever the actor's name is who plays Connie, because her facial expressions are awesome. She has really good, she's obviously a good emotional actor because we saw every expression revealed on her face. She's very expressive, and everything she does is revealed. Like, when she was afraid, you see it. When she was frustrated, you saw it. When she was angry, she did it. And this is not using words. And then when she was horrified in that wall, her eyes and everything, all the emotions was working. I was like, man, she's good.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you just said she would work well in the horror genre.
Right. And I guess some time passes, right? Well, eventually we figure out that there's three of these things slash people.
Because they come flying.
Yeah.
Leaping over staircase rails and come... It was crazy.
As some time passes and they have like this heartfelt moment sitting on the floor. They're just like, you know... And Virgil's like, you know, when Michonne came to the island, you know, she really like...
Virgil got stabbed, right? Something happened to him. He was wounded. And that's why he was like, you're just going to have to leave me and go. Mm-hmm. Michonne.
She really like set me straight, whatever, you know, got my head in the right place. And now he wants to pay it back, you know, so just... If you have a chance, run, and I'll save you. I won't let you die, blah, blah, blah. You need to get out. You need to go and be safe. And she's like, no. No, if we go, we go together. We're getting out of this together.
I don't know how that was going to happen, but whatever. If you say so, Miss Connie. Driving Miss Connie.
Okay, you tell the rest.
And so she has a plan in her brain, which we see. She has a plan in her brain. I think they were just about to get attacked again, so they're fighting and they're running. And she goes over to the door, and the whole plan was get them all to come after them, attack them, and then she opened the door and let all the walkers in to chew them up first. I just remember something. She put that walker blood on her, which she learned from Daryl and the rest of them.
Because Virgil was like fighting one off when they got inside, so there was that one from the beginning of the episode.
Yeah, and so she put some walker blood on herself, stood in front of Virgil, opened up the door, and they came in, and it was munching.
And then they got out.
To escape and run into, hey, who just killed that walker? Look, it's my dear lost sister. And Carol had a moment, like, which she should have punched, what's her name, in her throat, telling me don't bring her out here. Who are you to tell me what to do? Like, shoo, see?
Anyway.
Throat chopping.
The people come running out because they're getting chewed up. And first of all, there was the three of them, right? One starts getting chewed up. And another one jumps in to get the walkers off. What? If you start getting chewed on your back, there's no way that you're surviving that unless I cut away a piece of your back. You know what I mean? So I'm sorry. I'm going to have to let you go. I will be outside. I'll bury you when you're dead. But, you know, they're trying to, like, get each other to safety. And they go outside and then they die. And now everyone's safe. Yay!
Yay! And so, yeah, that was it. I really, really enjoyed that episode. That was a different episode. Much like the first episode was with the walkers that was down and some thing, the one that was sleeping, they had to fight to get through that. That was a rough one, the way they opened up the season. I liked the one with Daryl when he had to fight with the box and everything else. But this was really good because it was more... Like, there are certain movies where it's a character-driven movie or ensemble movie or something else. This was basically the Connie episode, and we really got to see her as an actor shine. And she did brightly. This was really good to do like a horror genre thing in there. It was sort of like the guy who plays Eugene, when he was putting together that shank and he was cutting up that wood and he was just sitting there looking. And it was like, it was like, wow, we haven't seen him this scared before. But it was a different type of fear. Mm-hmm. I know, and he mentioned that. I was like, you know what? You're right. When you look at Eugene, because I was watching the... AMC and they're running the Walking Dead channel, and I was looking at early things of Eugene being afraid and then thinking about what we had just saw. I was like, that's true. There was a different fear right there. It was like, I don't have enough time. I need time to hurry up and do this and get this done because I don't know when they're coming. As opposed to when we first saw him, he was such a coward and scared and never wanted to do anything.
A smart coward.
A genius.
Yes.
So, this was a whole episode of that type of moment with her.
Right. So there's this movie called Hush, and it's just the main character is deaf. I think she's also a writer. I'm not sure. But, you know, there's this guy trying to break into the house and kill her. And so she has to fight off this guy trying to break into the house and kill her. And at the end of the movie, everyone's fine. She's fine. It was a really good movie. Anyway, my point is, if they had done that movie, like, now, if I was doing that movie and I had to pick the cast, definitely would have put her in that movie.
Yeah. Again, I really enjoyed the episode because it brings up, it deals with some of the issues that I did say at the beginning of the show, was that you're deaf and you can't speak. How in the world are you surviving in this zombie apocalypse? It's not going to be that easy. And as we can see, without her sister by her side or the people who she's known, it's incredibly hard. And the two of them had to figure out a way to communicate, and I just lost my train of thought of what I was going to say. This reminded me of the movie we just saw, the silent movie where the girl was deaf. Not silent movie,
The Quiet Place
does it a whole lot better. Kudos to the people at The Walking Dead, the writers and directors who tried it, and they did well with it. They did well with their vehicle of shutting everything down. But A Quiet Place does it so much better. It was expertly done, where when we're seeing the daughter who's deaf, her perspective of everything being silent. It's a really good vehicle that you don't really see much in movies. So this was really good that The Walking Dead decided to use that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was an excellent episode. Speaking of tongues now. It was an excellent episode, and I can't wait to see what's going to happen next with Connie.
Yeah.
Because Daryl's still missing, and Connie and Daryl got kind of close. They got a really good, close, friendly relationship that everybody was hoping would turn into something a little bit more. At the same time, hoping Daryl's just stay single, which is, the fans are crazy. They're crazy. You know, they were so happy. Nah, she a traitor. But Daryl's on the other side of town, tucked away with some crazy man and his ex-lover and dog. Yeah. While Carol and Connie are back at the ranch. So this is going to be interesting.
Yeah.
And this week, the show that you guys know, every Monday I could not stand, The World Beyond Returns. This is going to make Monday so much more interesting. So your favorite is coming back.
It's not my favorite.
Okay. All right. So let's get out of here. And hopefully we will see you right back here next Monday for some more trucks rolling around in the background of our microphone. Anyway, for some more Walking Dead, so say goodbye and let's get out of here.
Bye.
See ya.